Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for May 15th, 2023. Karen Eileen, you have a question about the first thing is your cash flow cat, but you're like, what's my business? What's my side business? How do I sort of delineate that? Because you're a multi-hyphenate and you do many things. So in the general sense of answering that question, I think of it in terms of one, just looking at a business, side businesses, different income streams. So if you have an income stream that is larger versus one that's smaller, or you have one that you're like, oh, I want this to be my main income stream. But you can also look at it, and this is probably the way I think about it, is in terms of orientation of your life. What is your life? What are you trying to set up your life for you to be able to do? And that's like your main career.
Okay.
So it's not that important necessarily for you to like pick something over here, because you have a lot of things that pop at different times. But my understanding of you is that your main focus is on camera acting. Is that correct?
That
or like performing.
Performing, yeah. That's been my main, right? So the question becomes, does cash flow creation require me to shift that in onto a back burner? I don't even want to say it, but yeah.
Well, it's not that it requires you to shift it to the back burner, because, okay, so we've decided that you being hired as a performer, you're not creating the content, you're just performing the content. That is what you'd love to be doing. You've done it in the past. You want to do it in again. You want that to be your main source of income.
Yeah.
Now, the amount of time you have available to pursue those opportunities might have to be dialed back. Mm. So that you could ramp up the time of just getting money in the door.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then once you've established some one, two income streams mm-hmm. that are consistently, regularly bringing enough money just to kind of cover the bills and stuff,
mm-hmm.
then you can dial down the time and energy mm-hmm. you're spending on that and ramp back up the other opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do it all at once, but when you do multiple things all at once, they all move, but they all move slower.
Yes.
If you want something to move a little bit faster, then it has to be more of your focus. So in a position that you're in, from my understanding, is like, I need to bring money in.
Yeah.
So if you want that to be a little faster, then
mm-hmm. Oops, what happened? Is that me? Boo. Oh, something.
I'm seeing it too, Karen Eileen. I think you might have frozen Christine.
Oh, okay. Just, I didn't know if it was me.
Thank yeah, you. I'm seeing it too.
Christine, come back. What you're saying is so important. It's a good pose. I'm going to copy it. Boo. Oh, there she goes. She's going to go away and come back. Thanks, everybody, for the sanity check. Sound. Is your sound? Oh no, we can't hear you yet.
Sorry, Zoom just disappeared from my screen. So yeah. Fun in the sun. Okay. So what was the last thing you heard me say,
Karen? that if my goal is to get a bunch of cash coming in consistently quickly, then I'm gonna need to dial back time and energy on the pursuit of the performing stuff, and that if I want the cash thing to move more quickly, then it's a very good reminder, because it's a conscious, like, I'm going to make this choice and this is temporary. And yeah. It's a great reminder, Christine, that I'm so focused on the dollars that I forget that it's about the time and energy. I'm like, dollars, 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 dollars. And then the time and energy, I don't even think about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the last thing. Like, if I want the money to move faster, then I'm going to need to focus there and temporarily pull back on the other things.
Yeah. And pulling back on your artistic career just means you're not giving it any oomph. Opportunities, if they fall from the sky, if seeds that you planted in the past harvest, yeah, great. Yeah. Like, then focus on that for sure. Okay. All right. So think of it in terms of like your arts income and your support income. That might be better than business side business for you.
Okay.
Arts income, support income. And right now you're trying to really build up some support income.
And arts would be, just so I understand, like a way for me to think about it, arts is the place where I'm creating the art.
Performer. Let's call it performer income, support income.
Got it.
But for support income to be supportive, it needs to be either very consistent or rather robust. So we're not just talking about all the little creative jobs that just kind of land in your lap, voiceover, like coaching, like that's all great.
Yeah.
But what is going to be this consistent support income for you temporarily till you get more performer income?
Consistent and robust. I love that. And today here on the Zoom with all of you, I don't feel like I have that answer.
And it could be a job. It could be something you create and sell. Like, it's just income.
Okay.
So,
I got it.
I thought this was,
I got it.
Oh, that's Carolyn. I think you're unmuted.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
No worries. So are you, I want to celebrate your victories.
Okay.
So within your credit card debt, it will be at 0% soon. And you had 3 live commercial auditions.
Did. That was fun to be in the room times 3. That was fun.
Yeah. And what's the promo reel that you did for a voiceover?
This is the thing I posted in Cashflow asking for help from the village. This is a voiceover client who saw what I was playing around with on my own social and said, I think that stuff looks gorgeous. Can I hire you to do some stuff for me?
Oh, right. Uh-huh.
And I had a panic over money.
Did you do it?
And I have to share something really fun, because I got a lot of wisdom. I did research. And in the actual conversation, the client said to me, well, what number would make you most happy? What? And I'm like, you asked the question. So I'm going to say the number that would make me the most happy is $500 per video. And they started laughing and I started laughing because I know they can't afford that. And I'm like, hey, if you're going to ask me my happy number, that's my happy number. And that would be $2,000 a month for making promos for you. And they were like, we can't afford that. I was like, okay. So it's significantly less than that. It's actually $75 a promo, which is still $300 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying it out. And I have to tell you that the learning curve is epic. And I took it on because I know it's going to help me, but it's like, it makes me want to cry, the learning curve. And once it gets fun, it's going to be great. But I'm still in the, like, this learning curve makes me sad. So
the learning curve of like the software.
The layering and the software and the exporting and the rotating of the videos and the cropping and the pixels and the all of that stuff. Yeah.
Question: how long is it taking you now to do one, and how long do you think it should take you?
So the reason it's making me cry is that now it's taking me like maybe 6 hours to do it, because I'm working for $10 an hour, and it's $10 an hour and it's creative. So I got that. It's like, I'm not working at Whole Foods, even though that wouldn't be terrible. But I'm hoping to get it down to an hour or an hour and change. So that would be $75 an hour, which doesn't suck. So.
Okay. And how long do you think it's going to take you to get it down to the 1 hour?
Totally guessing here. I'm going to say 30 days.
Okay. So I ask you this so that in 30 days, evaluate where you're at.
Yes, I will. And I have that in place with the client as well, because the client's aware that it's taken me a million years to do it because of what they're asking me in the beginning. So yes, that's in place with them as well.
Okay. Because so then either it's not worth your while or it is. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Good. But lovely opportunity. Do you want to, I thought this was interesting. You don't have to elaborate, but if you'd like to, you wrote, you had a vague awareness that you consider debt your friend and don't want to release it.
I'm happy.
I only ask because I'm sure no one might be able to relate who will be listening to this.
I'm a little shocked at that. I've had credit card debt my entire adult life, and it never bothered me until I completely ran out of money and ran out of space on my credit cards, and then it bothered me. But like most of my life, I managed to like play credit card gymnastics so that it was just moving around. Mm-hmm. So when I think about being debt free, zero debt on my credit cards, this was shocking. This is in my meditation and my journaling. Mm-hmm. Profound sadness, really sad, very scary to have no debt. Some weird feeling of like, oh, I'm alone now. And I'm like, what is that? Because vaguely, I figured out that the credit card debt, this makes zero logical sense, but I know that's okay here, feels like some weird, comforting old friend. It's been part of my universe for decades. And somehow, it's crazy emotion with this. The credit card debt connects me to all of these beautiful experiences that I had that I put on my credit card. And this sense of freedom. So it was like, oh, I don't have to worry. I can just create and do my art because my credit cards are my friend and will help me do that. And all these wonderful things that let me do, I have to say goodbye to them and maybe I won't have them ever again. And some strange, tangled, like toxic best friend relationship that I am shocked that I'm crying over. It's a freaking credit card and I'm crying
over. No, it's not though. No, it is a credit card, but your relationship with money. That's why Miata is always talking in terms of a relationship with money, because it is that.
I feel sad.
Yeah. Really
sad.
That is such a wonderful framing that you are able to articulate.
But it was like, why is that one?
To do, but it allowed you to do great things, and then you can't do that dance anymore. And it's also when you have credit card debt, you're in a relationship where you're dependent. You're a dependent, like you're still leaning on people. And what you're entering this stage of life where you are trying to get yourself on your own to feet again. And there's great things about that. And we always talk about being on your own two feet and independent and free and all that as good, but it can also feel scary and unnerving and like, oh, now I have to take care of, and it can be feel like a sense of loss because dependency is like childish and, you know, being protected. And so it's a big knot and there's lots of threads that have to be kind of untied, but you're doing the work.
Okay, that's great.
You're not only doing the work, but you're allowing us to learn from you doing the work.
God, the fact that this place exists and there's a place I can come and talk about that I'm crying over losing my best friend credit card debt is like epic.
Yes.
The thing you say about dependency is so interesting. Like I don't think of myself as dependent. However, my relationship with credit cards has been extremely codependent and dependent. Mm-hmm. And there's a fear that I'm working through that maybe I just can't do it without the credit cards. Maybe I'll disappear or I'll crash and burn or I'll be flat.
And that is what we call a lizard brain theory. Oh, you are going to crash and burn. And the only way you're going to know is if you test that theory.
Oh, it's terrifying.
To get to the other side where you're like, oh, look, I didn't crash and burn. Interesting. Okay, good.
And also you as organizer goddess, you know all about this, but it surprised me that it showed up in the credit card world that, like, you know, when I start to declutter and throw things out, I get very emotional and I'll cry because that stupid shirt from Aunt Mabel that I haven't worn in 20 years It has her energy in it. I put her energy in it. So it's not the shirt. So something about the credit card debt, releasing it, is I have to release all of those beautiful memories, but I don't have to release the memories. I can unhook them from the credit card and put them here. But that was like a very recent awareness that, like, yeah, I had stored all the yumminess in the statement and the credit card, mm-hmm, and the dollars on the debt. That was shocking. Yeah. There's been a lot of crying.
Now, welcome to my world. Yeah. Good work.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. All right. I've got some good questions that were sent in. So we are going to go through them today. Ileana.
Hello.
Oh, look at you. Okay, you are a cash flow kitten. You're not sure what your side biz is at the moment. You are having opportunities pop into your life. That's great. Okay, so you're asking, you're like, what am I going to do for my side business? You went back into the course and like listed out your skills and your strengths and took a look at those, which you gave me here. And you've had 3 clients. And you're sort of like, okay, I had 2 that you worked with on the You Need a Budget software. And then you had 2 that you, or 1 that you helped like with time tracking. And it was the time tracking client that kind of stuck with it. And the You Need a Budget people were like, nah. Now, were they all paying you for this instruction?
You Need a Budget people paid me. I asked for $25 because I was still very scared of asking to be paid. So I know that that's next. But those 2 people paid me. The time tracking person asked for this for his birthday. And I was like, all right. Okay. So he actually didn't pay, but he did stick with it.
But he also like wanted it as a birthday gift. Like he really wanted it.
Yeah.
And obviously valued your time. Okay. That's fascinating. And then when you were working with You Need a Budget, you're like, oh, wow, this means I see everybody's numbers and I don't want to get it mixed in with financial planning and I want them to feel comfortable, but it feels like a lot of responsibility. Okay. And you were thinking of kind of like bundling the stuff that you're able to do with the software and the tech and offer kind of like a digital organization coaching, through either like financial organizing or time tracking or Notion planners or to-do and calendar systems, like any of those, any of that stuff. Is that trying to market too many things at once? So you're sort of asking the question of like, I know how to use all these different softwares. I understand how they help people. And I'm very good, not only at the facility with the software, but you're really warm and wonderful and good at teaching people. And you have a history of like, you know, instructing people in many different capacities. Mm-hmm. So instead of looking at it as like, oh, which software should I choose kind of thing? What is the problem that people have that is big enough that they would give you money to solve for them? Because you don't want to come out with a side business where you're trying to convince people that they need it.
Mm-hmm.
People don't buy what they need. They buy what they want. And then you give them what they need. So when I started out as an organizer, like nobody even knew what organizing was. So it was like, well, this is what organizing is. But I was never trying to be like, you need it. You need it. You need to get all your stuff in order. It's like, no. What did they want? They just wanted to feel better when they sat down at their desk. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, great. Let's go after that feeling. And what we'll do is all of this stuff. And we don't even need to talk about all of this, you know? So that's just one little example. So problems, like what kind of problems do you solve with your wonderful knowledge?
Mm-hmm. I think the pain points, I know that there is like one core pain point that unites them all, but I am also tempted to think about different ones for each of the different softwares. But I think that like with the time tracking, I think it's the sort of like, I don't know where my time is going. There's never enough time. I don't know how much time my projects will take. like, I feel like I can't see where my progress is. And then with the financial tracking, I think it's a lot of like, I've learned Miata's method, but I can't figure out how to do it in practice. Or the thing about this particular software that I find so helpful is that it's like you, it's a way of doing the envelope budget method thing, but digitally. So it's like you decide at the top of the month how much you intend to spend. And then you see a little progress bar telling you how much of that you have actually done. And so that question of like, I understand that I'm supposed to be allotting amount of money, but like someone asked on the call that I was on last time, like, how do I know how much money is in my clothing allotment? Like, how should I figure that out? The answer is like, you look at the app and it tells you. So like the clarity, I think, of just like, here is exactly what I have planned to do and where I am on my plan. I think it's really that across things also, like where am I in my plan? Or, but yeah, I think that it's a lot of the, like, I feel out of control of my time. I feel out of control of my money. And I do think, just to go back briefly to the time tracking thing, I think I want to do just time tracking, but that I feel nervous about it, or like people won't be able to come back and it won't be as sustainable. There's a version of it that I was dreaming about or thinking about where like the having all those little pods, like somebody could start with time tracking. And then after they track their time, they're like, oh, wait a minute. I think maybe that side job I'm doing isn't worth the money. Maybe I need to look at my money. And then they come back for a budget. Or yeah, but I still don't know if it's sort of too scattered. But yeah, those are some of the pain points that I've been thinking about.
I think you're on, we were thinking along the same lines of, I love this idea of like, I feel out of control. Mm-hmm. I don't know, where does my time go? Where does my money go? It all just disappears. But instead of, oh, we could start with this and then hopefully they'd come back. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh no, no. Your whole thing is like, we'll do this first, then we'll do this, then we'll do this. If you're gonna like offer that sort of thing. And when they feel out of control and they feel like they, I don't know where the time goes, I don't know where the money goes, chances are what's happening is they're not making the progress they want. Mm-hmm. So it's like, once you have that clarity and lower your anxiety around this, you'll be able to then do this. Mm-hmm. The sticky point is that a lot of people who are like, oh, where does my time go? Where does my money go? It's rare for, because the reason they don't know that is not just because they don't have the right software. It's just they're not wired necessarily to be able to keep up on like entering things in, like, you know, a lot. You're dealing with a lot of people probably with ADD and different, you know, neurodivergencies that make it difficult to go, where's my time? Where's my money? And some of these apps and organizational stuff are designed by people with really good executive functioning. So it's like, it's not a good match. So you'd need to be just aware of that, you know, and be able to encourage people to not beat up on themselves and just to eat. Because even if they use something 50% and it kind of gives them a little more clarity, that's better than no clarity. And are you good at like researching things? Like if someone says, can you find me this and this and this online and this and this and this online, like, you know, compiling it into organize, it sounds like you are that.
Yeah, I feel pretty comfortable with that.
And have you ever worked as somebody's assistant before, like a virtual assistant?
No.
Does that appeal to you at all?
It might if it paid a lot. Mm-hmm. But
what's a lot?
It might just be because Karen Eileen just said it, but $2,000 a month is sounding delicious. Mm-hmm. Like $3,000 a month would be amazing. But maybe like the virtual part appeals to me. Maybe that hadn't occurred to me as something that stands out with my skill set, but now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, it's like, I'm supportive. I'm good at the internet. I can compile a report. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it and this is for you to test, you know, so you could put out something that says, you know, are you experiencing this feeling of out of control? I don't know where my time is going. I don't know where my money is going. I would like to offer, you know, we're going to work on this, then we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this. It's going to take, we're going to work together for this many weeks, and it's this much money. And just to sort of put feelers out to see if you get any interest on that. Mm-hmm. If anybody's like, oh, that sounds interesting. So you can test that and like see if you can shape that into something. You can also put out feelers of like, I'm interested in offering, you know, being a virtual assistant. This is how much I charge an hour. Because you can get to $2,000 a month. You might do that through one client, but you might do that through three people, mm-hmm. you know, who pay you different chunks for a different amount of hours and services. But you might look around at the virtual assistant world to start Googling. Like there's training programs on like how to be a personal assistant, but you don't need that necessarily. Especially if you, that's okay if you want to do that like full time, but if as a side gig, it's just sort of like, what do people need help with? Cause I think you can help people with a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I think for you, it's just, what do people need help with? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to say that, but I'm going to say something else, because you do have this strength of using software for organizational stuff. What you might do is go to the National Association of Productivity and Organizational Professionals, NAPO. I think it's napo.net is their main address. And you can search, find an organizer, and you can search by specialty. Hmm. So if you click on, you know, people who organizers specialize in digital stuff, you might contact them and say, hi, I have a, you know, I work with someone who is a former professional organizer and that's how I came here. They won't know my name or anything. But I just wanted you to know I'm really great at this stuff. And if you ever wanted to bring on an assistant, you know, a freelance assistant, or if you wanted to farm work out to me that you didn't necessarily want to do, which means they're charging their client more and then they're paying you. This might be something. So people who have, instead of building something yourself, which I still think you should explore, you can also go to people who are kind of doing the thing you could do and go like, do you have any spillover? Can I eat any of your crumbs? Can I help you with this? Do mm-hmm. more work than, you know, and because usually there's stuff they don't like to do. And if you mm-hmm. don't mind doing it, they're like, okay, great. But that just might be a source. Mm-hmm. Looking for digital productivity experts, Google that online. Mm-hmm. Because I could even see coaches having a business like you're thinking of setting it up, and they love to teach and get the client on board, but they don't want to deal with the accountability and the questions and the whatevers and the who's it's. And you could be like, hey, if you wanted to like have that for your clients, mm-hmm. I want you to think outside the box if maybe you can attach yourself to somebody else who already has the clients coming through.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds great. Yeah. I love the idea of being like a happy barnacle on a bigger ship that I don't have to steer myself. That sounds amazing. Right.
I know. It's great. It's great. But that's how a lot of people get started. Copywriters, especially, go to other copywriters. Like, is there stuff that you don't want to, like, I don't want to do sales pages anymore. Great. I'll just do all the sales pages for you. That kind of stuff. You never know. You never know. You could be the answer that someone is praying for. Oh my God. I just wish there was someone who would come along and do this. So what would be your hourly rate that you, I need a rate that you're not resentful getting that you're like, oh, this is not bad. It's not bad.
I will think about what that number would be. I've never been paid hourly before, so I feel like I don't really have a good barometer, or a number doesn't jump to mind. I feel like 45, mm-hmm. but then taxes. So I feel like 65.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty good range.
when I was thinking about the time tracking one, I was like, if I could get $150 for a session of this, I would be the happiest clam.
And how long is a session?
I think about 90 minutes. I had always, when I pitched it to the people who I worked with, I was like, I think it should be two sessions, like a follow-up for the accountability's sake. So maybe 90 minutes and then like a 30-minute coda. But then nobody wanted to do the 30-minute coda with me, even the one who did stay with the habit. So I had thought 2 hours total, a 90-minute startup, and then a 30-minute check-in.
Okay. Yeah. So, it's really about when you talk about time tracking, like what is the person going to get out of it? And here's the other thing. You're not responsible for them following through and using the tool. They're coming to you to teach them how to use the tool, to get them started. That's what they're paying you for. So if you went to person to person to person who paid you $150 to introduce them to this tool, so that's completely legitimate. You're not there to have to like, no, but you must be successful at it. I have paid people lots of stuff for stuff I was interested in. I just want, tell me how to do this. And then I would either make a decision to do it or not, or it wouldn't be a good fit. They're not coming back to me like, are you doing it? Are you doing it? Like,
okay.
Cause that's what that the exchange has been complete. So I don't want you to feel bad that they're giving you money and then they're not doing it. They're giving you money for a lot of reasons, the support to investigate it because it's been on their to-do list forever. You're getting it off their to-do list. That's worth something, you know, and not having to figure it out themselves. So speed and also just supporting them with an attempt to try to get better. And we don't always succeed at all of our attempts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're onto something. You've got a great skill set. Investigate these different areas, but do it with the mindset of like, somebody out there needs somebody like me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be the answer to somebody's prayers. And if somebody's charging $150 to a client and they pay you $75 an hour, like that's, you're looking for that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And look at companies and stuff too, like, you know, companies, not just individual proprietors. Mm. Okay.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to cover?
No, I think that's good. I think that part of what I was stumbling on is that I know it's kind of true of anything, but like the time tracking, for example, I can just tell someone the apps I'm using and they can go off and do it by themselves. And some people absolutely do and absolutely have, and I'm happy for them. But then I was like, does that make it illegitimate for me to coach it? Which no, but I think that's something that I keep stumbling back on.
I've paid people to be like, no, I've paid people. I was like, I don't know how Twitter works. Can you just come over and like, teach me how to do it. And I didn't do it, but I was like, I should. And so I pay them for their time. But I was like, no, sometimes we want not to do it alone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And I guess the last one is time tracking is another one I gravitate to because it's very like, you get all these little charts and it's very visual and like it comes up organically in conversation a lot. I'll be like, oh my gosh, I spent 17 hours on that. And people are like, how do you know how long things take you? And I'm like, oh, just you wait. And I show them the little charts and people are like, whoa, like, is that the moment where I have to say, and by the way, like I can coach on this if you want, like that's the,
I would say when people go, whoa, you go, that's what my clients often say.
That's a great line. Okay.
You see? Yeah. So you're just letting, instead of necessarily talking about your business, you can just let people know you work with clients. Mm. Oh yeah. Client said to me recently, or, oh yeah, one of my clients had that same problem and I taught her this software and now blah, blah, blah. So that's a nice way into it. You have to understand though, that you love this shit. Mm-hmm. You love it. other people don't love it. And the people who need help with it aren't as facile with it as you. No, none of my clients, with a very rare exception, loved organizing. I was having way more fun than they were having. Mm-hmm. Organizing was a means to the end, the feelings they wanted to have, to the progress in their life they wanted to have. They weren't jazzed about organizing. Mm-hmm. Your clients are not going to be excited about the software. Mm-hmm. They're going to, and that's why you never sell the steak. People are usually not excited about the steak. They want the sizzle. They want the results. They want the feeling they're going to have afterwards. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, I'll do this stupid time tracking thing so that, mm-hmm. So that I will have whatever this feeling is. Mm-hmm. Because what, and just, we don't have to talk about it here, but what do you get out of knowing you spent 17 hours on that? Because I don't know how much time I spend on anything. I don't, mm-hmm. that I've never tracked time, and that's just not where my orientation is as far as what I need. So it's like, what does that give you, knowing that? That's mm-hmm. part of your marketing. It's like, this is what you can benefit from. Yeah, it's how your life will improve. Because when you say you get clarity, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And I always have to, I mean, we all fall into the bad habit of using these coach words, clarity, transformation, empowerment. But what does that mean? It means when you wake up in the morning and you go to get your cup of coffee, you like, I don't know, what does it mean in my life? Like, how will I notice I have clarity? Mm-hmm. What will I feel like? What will I differently? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, yeah. When you're organized, you won't have to look for your keys. Oh, I get. Now that's a thing that I actually understand that I do, that I hate, that I won't have to do again. Versus get organized. That's very vague and very, but you will never have to spend that hour that you wanted to be spending on something else hunting for your keys. So I want you to be like, when you know you spent this much time on this thing, this is how it impacts your life on a very granular level. And this is for everybody in marketing. That's what you need to bring it into their life so they can go, she knows who I am. My God. Mm-hmm. Okay. Lots of food for thought. So
thank you.
So keep going, keep exploring. That's exactly it. Evan, you're welcome. Hi, Evan. Evan is Cashflow Cat. He is a voiceover artist. And he also does freelance technical writing on the side. And he has a client who's reached out with so you have several things. You started to build a dedicated page on your website for technical writing. Very mm-hmm. exciting. That's amazing. And everyone needs to know, he didn't start to write the page for his website about his side business until he's already had clients who are paying him to do the technical writing. You can get clients without like getting everything perfectly perfect on a website. The websites do not get you clients. You get yourself clients. And then the clients sometimes go to your website or Instagram to make sure you're not crazy. That's what that's for. Or to get some information or to pass you along to someone else. Oh, here's the URL if you want to check out Evan. It's a secondary asset, but you don't have to have one to get clients. But congratulations on that. And then new conversations have begun between you and your client for upcoming work. Congratulations on that. That's the testimony of your ability and your level of service is they want more. Fantastic. Yep. And a client has reached out to you with an unpaid opportunity to help edit an industry publication that they have been approached with. Okay. So congratulations on someone coming to you for that. Have you decided if you're going to do it?
Not yet. I'm more leaning towards passing on it right now, but considering, because like they said, it would be cool to have my name in a book as a, like an author in that particular section. That's what they came to me with as the incentive to help them but they're not even getting paid for it, which is why they can't pay me for it. So it's something that I'm mulling
right.
over, but it's not a huge priority.
Yeah. And is it an ongoing publication, like a monthly or a quarterly thing?
I think it's an annual thing. It's like this year's edition of this particular publication.
Okay. Just for everyone listening, you know, occasionally you do stuff for free in order to get the credit. Like, oh, I was the assistant editor on this publication. Like, that's kind of cool. Here's what I want you to do. You only need, especially when it's unpaid, that's what I'm talking about, unpaid. You only need to do it for as long until you get the credit. You don't have to do it for, like, let's say this was a monthly publication. You could say to them, I will edit that for free for a quarter, 3 months, or 6 months. Because then you can always say, oh, well, I was the associate editor on the blah, 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 but you only did it for 6 months.
Okay.
When I was an organizer, I was like, well, it might be good because I was a member of the association and like, oh, I should probably serve on the board. I went to someone and said, of all the board positions, which one has the least amount of responsibility? I literally asked that question. She's like, oh, this one, like, because the secretary had to like write all this stuff and the other thing. And I'm just like, no, no, no. What's the least? And that's the board position I ran for. And I held it for 1 year because that was the term. But that's, I didn't need to run more years than that because the credit is I served on the board of this organization. That's the resume line. Not I served on the board for 18 years. I mean, I don't say I served on it only for 1 year, but I just say, so it's like, what is the minimum amount of effort for the maximum result? That's not being manipulative or mean or cheating anybody. It's I'll do this for free, but only for the minimum amount of time that I need to get the thing I want out of it. That's just something to think about.
Okay.
So even if you just did it once for the annual thing, you don't wanna, that's your commitment. So you can say to someone, I'll do it once, or I'll do it for 4 times, or I'll do it for 6 months. You can set those terms.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for that. Food for thought.
Okay, but that wasn't his main question. You're welcome. Thank you for letting me go off. So his main question, you are working for a client as a freelancer. And they came back to you and said, no, can you instead work for us as a, right? As a W-2?
As a W-2 temporary employee, a temp.
Okay. So like 29 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, okay, my rate is 160. And they came back and said, the maximum we can do. And we had to really pull strings to get you 80. And you're like, well, 80 is more than zero. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes there is no shame in being like, I would like some money and they're not meeting my quote, but I can live with 80. So I'll take it for a while. And this is another place where you can negotiate. If you can't negotiate on price, where they're like, 80 is our final offer, you might be able to negotiate on time, the length of time you'll do it for 80. Like, okay, I'll work for my agreement. I'll meet you at 80 and I'll do that price for 6 months. And then we can come back and see if it's still working. And maybe after a certain, and I'm just pulled 6 months out of my butt, but like whatever amount of time, maybe then they're like, oh my God, he's doing such a great job. We don't want to lose him. He'd be really hard to replace. Let's just keep going. And you're like, yeah, but our agreement was for 6 months. And for me to continue with this, I am going to need 95. And so you can inch your rate up by renegotiating it after a set amount of time. Does that make sense?
It does.
Do you think that's something that you could do in this situation?
I think I didn't consider that, but I think it's something that I can do. And 6 months doesn't actually sound like a bad number to go with in this particular project. So in that case, since it's not, the thing is, it's not contract work. I become their employee here, but I could still have that negotiation and an employer-employee relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, you just write up a contract. And if they're like, well, we've never done that before, we don't do that. I just watched last night on Amazon Prime the movie Air about Nike signing Michael Jordan. And his mom, because Nike was like the third shoe company and everybody was chasing him. And his mom said, we'll go with you, Nike, but Michael needs to get a percentage of every shoe that's sold. And they were like, well, no, we don't do, that's not how we do business. Like we just do the, they just get paid this amount of money each year. We don't, we've never done that before. The industry's never done that before. And she's like, okay, well, but we're going to do that. And that's how we're going to do it. And it changed the whole industry. Things haven't been done until they are able to be done. When my sister needed to work from home, the nonprofit she was working for was like, well, we don't do that. We don't do that. Like nobody could work from home before the pandemic, but way before the pandemic, she got a work from home thing. They made it work. Like, so, oh, well, we've never, that's not the contract. It's like, okay, but we could do that. We could have a contract that we decide on the terms for 6 months. So don't take, we can't do that. We don't, that's not how we do business. Then it's like, you could say to them, I just compromised 50% on my price. So what I need you to compromise on is doing a contract in a slightly different way than you have with other people you've employed under this W-2 thing.
Yeah.
And then if they're just biting you on that, then you can sort of decide if it's worth it. And it can be worth it. By the way, don't be afraid to bring things up in negotiations that totally then don't work. And you're like, okay, I'll take it anyway. That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
That was there's the main no anxiety shame. That I had.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's natural because you're like, oh my God, what if I'm like, no. And they're like, no. And then, well, you can always decide yes.
Yeah.
Just be like, okay, because you can quit at any time too, by the way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They can fire you at any time too, by the way. So this whole 6 month contract is really semantics because you could leave whenever and they could leave whenever, basically, in an employee agreement. Because your life could completely change and you had to move to Peru.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Things aren't as solid. It's just sort of a, okay, you agree to do this if all goes well, and I'll agree to do this if all goes well. That's what a contract is really about.
Okay. Do you think it would still be worth like seeing if I can negotiate the rate up front in the middle? And then if they don't, then I can fall back on, okay, let's try this for 6 months. And then from there, let's revisit these discussions again before we continue on into the next calendar year. And because if I can see if I can get it up front, then I can get it up front. But if not, then I can say no. If they say no, we can't go up higher. I'm like, okay, I'll do it for 80, but let's do that for a six month period, see how that works out for us. And then in 6 months, we'll talk about, see how the work is going, see if we like this relationship and what's going on, and see if we can adjust the rates at that time.
Yep. Okay. That's a great. So you're first going to counter with a number higher than 80.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they, excuse me, if they stay firm on that, then you counter with the amount of time.
Yep.
Yeah. And you're getting good at this. It feels internally, you're like, la, 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 la. That's fine.
Yeah.
But the fact that you're willing to do it is strengthening your muscles. This is so good because here's the thing, in 6 months time, especially as you're getting your website page finalized and you in those 6 months, go find some other clients.
Yep.
We'll pay you the rate you want. Cause then you can be like, in order for me to fit this project on my schedule, I'm going to need 140 because I have other work that's,
yeah,
I love working for you guys. It's steady. It's great. But I have other people knocking. And if that's why marketing is so important, if you know that you can go out and get another client, you never have to be like holding on tightly to clients that are me.
Yeah. I'm hoping to get to that point. Still building.
You're working your way there, Evan. You're doing everything right. Like, it's great. And this, them coming back with 80 means nothing about your worth. You accepting 80 means nothing about your worth. It's just you making a financial decision based on your current circumstances.
Right.
I'm just saying those circumstances could totally change in 6 months.
Yeah.
And then you can make a whole other agreement. Yeah.
Okay.
Well done. Well done. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you, Christine. Much appreciated.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Marisol, are you there? Yes. Yes. Good to see you, Evan. Hi. All right. Marisol is cash flow kitten, side business, QuickBooks training and maintenance. Okay. So this is what you wrote. In your search for part-time work, I interviewed with a lovely artist, an early career author seeking administrative support. I mentioned I've been working with you in Abundance Bound, and I've cleared up my own finances and have since trained to receive my QuickBooks Pro Advisor certification. That piqued her interest. And while she moved forward with someone else for the writer support, you guys are scheduled to talk about working together on the QuickBooks finances aspect of her business. Nice. I suppose this would be a potential first client for you, yes, and you're seeking some guidance before you guys talk. So specifically, like, where should I start? What are the most important questions to ask a potential new client during an initial intake call? And she's offered to pay you for your time. That's great. Just wondering what the first step questions or items to address, rates and packages, in this conversation, because you're a brand new kitten and that's where we all start. What am I supposed to say? Well, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what do you know what she needs help with specifically? Like, what is she looking for?
No, I think this conversation will clarify that. But my mind hasn't been geared towards the QuickBooks training side business. Mm-hmm. I've only spoken to you about the coaching, but this would be another stream that I know that I can do. I just haven't started it. So I'm like, where do I, like, I need to like organize my thoughts and I don't want to, I'd like to book a client, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Okay. So there's basically two things that you need out of this conversation. The first thing is you need to make sure that what they need is something you can deliver on. Mm-hmm. Like, what's happening here? And you do want to know, like, are they completely scattered and all over the place? And this is going to be kind of like forensic accounting where you have to, like, you know, untie knots, or is it all pretty basic and they just need it moved into QuickBooks? Like, you want to get a sense of like how complex is what they need. And sometimes people they don't realize that they're a mess. It comes out in the conversation. So you always want to kind of like, okay, are you a mess? You're also looking for, are you crazy? Which in this case, you kind of already met her. So you know that that's not, but that's, it's like, are you crazy? Like, do you, and by that, I mean, I'm not trying to use that as a pejorative against mental health, but I'm using that word as like,
we work together.
Will you be easy to work with? Are you expecting things way beyond? Do you talk a mile a minute and not let me get a word in edgewise? Do you answer questions directly or take off on this tangent? Like, do I think it will be pleasant to work with you? So you're looking for that. So how complex is the project? Does this person seem to be pleasant to work with? And what do they want? Like, what is the result they want to get through this. Oh, I want my thing to the this and the thing. So based off those three pieces of the equation, you then can assess, I can totally do that.
Okay, so let's say that I can totally do this. Mm-hmm. But I think where I pause is how do I figure out my, like, how I would, I don't have a system of how I work with clients yet. So how do I
figure that out? So the second half.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in a call like this, just for everybody listening. So you have this first set of questions and conversation to determine, oh, I can help this person. And then the second part of the conversation is talking about how this is going to be structured. Now, when you've been doing this a while, you're the one telling them the structure. Oh, this is how I work. I do this, this, this. It's this much an hour, this, 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 this. Great. And then they decide, okay, I can work within that structure. In this case, however, you're like, oh, I've never done this before. So what do I say? So sometimes with clients who are either have a unique situation or you're early in your business, it's something you're collaborating on of like, well, what do you need? Okay, well, I think I can do this. Okay, well, it would be, what does this sound like if we did it like this, just to see if that works, and we can always change it. So sometimes it can be that kind of conversation. However, when you're a member of a group like this and have somebody to ask about it, it might be good to go in with some thoughts on a possible framework. Mm-hmm. And you can say it like this of like, here's how I think it will work best for us, but I'm totally open to us making some shifts around it. If you need more or less, we can continue talking about it through the work. So you're letting them know, like, you know, I don't exactly know what you need, but we will figure that out. Mm-hmm. However, with what you guess that she wants and needs, like, do you have any kind of estimation of like, we'd need at least 3 sessions working together and those sessions might need to be this long, or are you doing the work yourself without her?
Well, if I were to guess that she wants to transition her finances, and get clarity, technical clarity on what using a system, which is QuickBooks, then, I would have to ask her, you know, questions of like, how many accounts do you have? How far back do you want to go? Do you want to learn how to do this yourself? Or do you want to get set up and have someone else maintain it?
Yep.
So like, just, this is based off of, and I've only done my own, but she's an artist in the similar sense that she's got her W-2, like 9-to-5 kind of job, but she's also an author with her own book in that business. You know what I mean? So it's like me helping me kind of scenario. So those are the questions I would start with to get a sense of her needs, you know?
Yeah. But is, in terms of performing and executing the work, is this something where you would need to sit down with her and then you do some work on your own and then you sit down with her again? Or does every session need to be together?
It depends on if she wants to learn it or if she wants someone else to do it. I would find that out tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that, I mean, taking the safe route that she would want to learn so that she can have clarity and then also control. She's not just handing off her finances to another person.
Right.
And that would mean that I would be working with her. Like, there would be sessions where she and I would be working together, but perhaps a few sessions of me working independently on cleaning things up for the next session. Mm-hmm. Or maybe she's working independently of cleaning things up the way that Susie works. So
yeah. Is this going to be done virtually?
Yeah. She's in New York and I'm in Los Angeles. So
then it comes down to, how long is this going to take? How much do you charge? And it's hard to know how long it's going to take. Sometimes people would always ask me that as an organizer. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I have a guess, but it's just a guesstimate. How long is this going to take? How much an hour? And do you have ideas around how much an hour or how you would like to package it?
No, I know that I could charge hourly, and I know that it could, the option is I could, you know, formulate a package, but I really don't have a sense of, since I've never done this for anyone else, I've never charged anyone for this. Mm-hmm. I know it took me a long time. It took me countless hours of, and a lot of it was just simple troubleshooting. I knew what I was doing, but it was like, you run into a snag and you have to get on the phone with support. And I wasn't counting the hours because I was doing it for myself.
Right.
And so like where I like hit a wall again is like, okay, there's only so much that I know. And then there are some things that I simply have to get on the phone for, anyone would, mm-hmm. With a software, you know, system. So how do I charge someone for my services? And then when I hit my own limit, like, do I continue to charge if I'm doing hourly for the phone call that I'm making to work with someone else on the system, or is a package a better way of handling, is creating like a package a better way of handling these kind of work scenarios? Do you know what I mean?
Yes. So there's several things here. One is you do always, whether you're doing a package, whether you're doing hourly, you need to build in time to that rate that covers a little bit of the extra admin stuff. But then you have to decide, well, legitimately, are you going to eat financially out of your bottom line for your own learning curve? Like, because we all have to learn things that we don't know to get better at our business. And we don't necessarily pass that on to the client because it's our learning curve.
Yeah.
But if there's something like, let's say you had been working with people and you hit a client who had a very particular, like, whoa, I've never seen this before, and I'm going to have to get on the phone, or one of us is, then you go to the client and you go, do you want to get on the phone? But it will be easier for me just to do it, but I'm going to charge for that, because this is something that's very unique. But if it's a more generalized question that once you know, you'll know it forever and you'll use it with all your clients, then that's kind of like your own learning curve.
Yeah.
And that's okay. A judgment call. It's a judgment call. I know people who have set up their business and their clients have financed their entire learning curve. That's fine. That's fine too. It's just a judgment call on that. But you do, and it's hard to, with some businesses, it's difficult to decide on the package from the get-go.
Yeah.
Unless you have a very clear, like, this is how much time we need to do something. So I recommend people just start with an hourly rate. And as you work with clients, you're going to be like, okay, I see the pattern here, and this is what people mostly need, and that's how I'll set things up. I started that way too. It was just like hourly rate.
Instinct. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but for you and this particular business, it's going to need what, at least 5 hours, at least 6, 10, 12, like what should the person realistically budget for to get ramped up at basic QuickBooks for themselves with your help?
Oh, you're asking me. Mm-hmm. It really depends on how much they're coming to me with.
Yeah.
Like how much they want organized. It's really like an organizing job.
Yeah.
So I couldn't, I mean, like, I think the safe bet is to set an hourly rate. And again, once she gives me the information, I can assess how big the job is, how long, And so do you tell a client upfront, like, hey, I'm you're my first client, or I'm fairly new to this and figuring out my own business structure. So I do start with an hourly rate, but once I get a, you know, an idea of the bigger scope of the task, then I'll transition into packages, or just so that there's some sort of like transparency in how I work.
I'm not sure that conversation is necessary.
Okay.
I would probably frame it as my hourly rate is this. And realistically, my guess is it's going to take us between 6 and 12 hours for me to get you started. Like, I've never worked with you before, so I'm not sure of your comfortability with this and how quickly you'll take to it. So maybe it'll take a little less, but it might take somewhere in the neighborhood, just so you're aware. And if the person's like, well, I couldn't afford 12 hours, then you're like, well, 6 hours with me or 5 hours with me is going to get you closer to that finish line in a smoother, more enjoyable route than if you were doing it by yourself. So even if you can only do 5 hours, that's a great 5 hour spent. So I would frame it like that. If people are like, 12 hours at this much an hour, it's like, oh, it's okay. But you're not going to lower your rate for them. You're just going to go, we'll work with however many hours fits your budget, and we'll get you up to that stage of the game.
So it is sort of like offering a package, like thinking in terms of just like what I'm willing, how much time I'm willing to at this rate, and start giving her like the barometer of like 5 or 6 hours.
That's yeah. Where, okay. So if you think like there's no, I mean, cause I know, knowing nothing about QuickBooks, it's like, well, you're not going to do it in an hour.
No.
And you're probably not going to do it in three. So my guess is you're looking minimum 6 would be my guess, 5 or 6 hours. So you can say the minimum of time for us to get started on this is this many hours. And that's my initial package for new clients. And it's this much. So you can package your beginning, and then you can say, and then if you want more, if you need more, we can continue at the rate of this much per hour. That's a really good way to do it.
If you want more, need more, we can continue. And like, would it be a different rate than what the package breaks down to?
Well, yes, because then you get a little bit more money up front, because the most a client is ever going to cost you is with the onboarding. Even though she's paying you for your time for that, it's just like bringing a new client into your life just takes a little extra hours. And then if you have a package where you pad it a little bit, then you can, you know, cover a little bit of your learning curve, maybe be able to over deliver a little, like outside the boundaries of when you guys meet, if you can. Like, you don't have to. It just lets you, a package lets you earn a little bit more than the amount of hours in a package. So what is the lowest, let's start this way. What is the lowest rate that you'd be like, I'm happy to get that?
Okay. Happy is a strong word, but like acceptable would be $35 an hour, because that's based off of like the administrative 30 virtual assistant work, but this is a different kind of work. Mm-hmm. I think this is
more specialized.
Yeah, it's specialized, and it can take hours, regardless of whether or not I have limitations on knowledge, or if she does. But like, it can be tedious and take a long time. So mm-hmm. I, knowing that, I've worked with a coach like this before, and she's way more experienced than I am. Mm-hmm. And her rate is $40 an hour. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that has always been her rate. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a good, you know, kind of start, though. I would like to be able to, I know that some other, I've done some research, and I know that some other QBO teachers have packages. I think they've worked with you or Miata, and one girl's charging $125 an hour. So I think because I don't have years of experience that like somewhere in the 40 to 50 range would be comfortable.
Yeah. And that's the thing is you're right. Happy is a strong word. What I really mean is, what is the price at which you will not be resentful for doing the work? Yeah. I want a price that's like, oh, I'm happy to show up here at this computer for $35 an hour. No problem. I want no feeling of like, they're not paying me enough. Because that is an energy drain.
It is.
So what would you want your initial amount of hours to be? 5 or 6?
I think
that a client has to buy.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I think 3 2-hour sessions sounds like you could make some progress.
Yeah.
In like that kind of time frame.
Yeah. So 6 hours at $40 an hour is $240. So what if your new client package, which is 6 hours, usually broken up into 2-3 2-hour sessions, is $285. And then you can continue with them at the rate of $40 an hour or $35 or $38 or whatever you want.
Hang on. I'm not as quick as the calculations is.
No, that's okay.
6 hours at $40 an hour. So the math of that is $240 total for an hour to dollar package. Mm-hmm. You're with the padding, you're saying it would break down to $285, you're saying?
Yeah, like $285 or $280.
Okay. Yeah.
And I just pulled that number out. It's not special. I just was like, yeah, sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. And that's where it's like, you start to think like, well, if I were in a store and I saw something was on sale, I wanted something, but then I saw I get 20% off. So you start kind of like, oh, okay. So if she saw this as it's 300 total, but we could start out with 240 at whatever percent.
No. You're not discounting.
No, but if she's. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
You're adding money. So you're like saying the new client package is 6 hours and it's $285, which works out to $47.50 an hour. And then if you'd like to continue and want more, we can continue at the rate of $40 an hour or $35 an hour. So they feel like, boom, after that package, the rate I'm paying goes down, which is a great feeling. And it encourages people to continue. So they bite the bullet at the beginning.
Yeah.
A little bit of
I was confusing myself. Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Mm-hmm. If you take $35 an hour, then why don't you make your rate after the package $40? And if she's like, ooh, $40 and wants to negotiate on that, you know, I can feel like for you, I'll go down to $35.
Right. Okay.
But you're still getting the rate that you're like, I don't know, this sounds good too. Mm-hmm. And again, these are your rates for her. And then once you work with her, you can totally change your rates. You can change your rates all the time. You can keep, if you're like, oh, I can get more or I want to get more, raise your rates. That's fine. You're not making a decision forever. You're making a decision for this first client because you're going to try.
It sort of feels like an experiment. Like, I don't really know what's
total experiment.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily have to tell them you're experimenting. Because when people hire someone, they want you to lead them. They're saying, please lead me through this project because I don't want to be the leader. So she's looking to you to manage the time, set the boundaries, create a container, and lead her through the project. so she can relax and just, you know, do the work she needs to do. Mm-hmm. And then if a client is like, oh, $40 an hour, like to continue, that just seems like so much. You can go, well, you can totally, to bring that down, you can totally do some of this work yourself. And that's what we're going to be doing in those first 6 hours together, is I'm going to imparting some skills and teaching you how to do this. So you're welcome to like do the work alone. Just some of my clients prefer me just to do it. They want to save their time.
Okay. That's a good option.
Did you get that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're just letting them know that it'll go faster probably if they let you do it, but if they want less price, they can do the work, and then it's their decision.
Gotcha.
It's good. Instead of, I'm saying this and for everyone listening, instead of when you get like pushback on your price, don't automatically go to discounting your price. You can say things like, oh, well, we can shrink the amount of time. You can do some of the work. You can hire somebody at a cheaper rate to just do the busy work, and I can concentrate on teaching you how to do it. There's lots of ways they can accommodate their budget without you just automatically dropping your price.
Okay.
No one wants to spend money learning QuickBooks.
I did.
Doesn't matter what price you quote, $20 an hour, it is too much. I don't want to spend any money or any time doing this, but they know they have to. So it's not an attractive expenditure, but you want someone who knows what they're doing, so they'll be willing to pay $40 an hour because they don't want to do it twice. And that's another bit of sizzle for your marketing. You might find people, you know, if you get pushback or if you want to say it on your website, you know, you might find people who are offering the service at a lower rate. But I know what I can do in terms of teaching you, in terms of serving you, and in terms of doing this right the first time, because the most expensive option is always having to do it again. The most expensive option is having to do all of this again because someone messed it up. So that's what you're getting with me, is we'll do this once.
Mm-hmm.
And that is you communicating the value of the price you've chosen. That's your job. You can choose what you can charge, whatever you can communicate the value of. I guarantee there are people out there charging $1,000 for a 3-hour get started on QuickBooks because they can sell it, because they know how to communicate the value of what the person's getting. And the person's just like, great. And the person has that money and they don't care. So different clientele have different price points, but it's your job to get them to see your price in a different lens. The first lens they're looking at it is always through, I don't want to pay that. And it's like, okay, I get it, because QuickBooks isn't sexy, but let me tell you how I look at this price. Okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. This is exciting. You have this wonderful thing. You're going to get paid to even have this conversation. That's fun.
That's another question. Yeah. Do I offer that as a freebie to start, as like a complimentary kind of session?
So she has said, I'll pay you for your time. No, correct?
I didn't even ask her. Yeah.
Yeah, she said that, right? Mm-hmm. So here's how I would go into it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have this conversation. She's already said, I'll pay you for your time. You say, great. At the end of the conversation, if she says, it's a little too rich for my blood, I don't think I'll go, you go, great, I'll just bill you for this hour. My rate's $40. And then you bill her that. Okay. If she's like, oh yes, when can we get started? You go, great. In fact, no charge for this call. We'll just go, And then if she's like, okay, well, let me think about it. You go, great. If you do decide to go with me, no charge for our time today. We'll just include that. That's just a little bonus incentive for her to think about. And it's nice. It's something you can offer her. So depending on what she says at the end of the call, that's how I would play the getting money for session. And you can say $50. You don't have to say 40. You just say, great, I'll bill you $50 and we'll part ways and it'll be fine.
What about telling her that, like, you know, please bear with me. I'm just getting my legs on this. Like, is that something that you would tell like a first time client or anyone that you're working with kind of in your beginning stages? Or
Yeah. You can say, you know, you can totally say, I'm a fan of often naming the elephant in the room. Of like saying, oh, well, I'm a little nervous. This is my first time doing this. But on the other hand, you don't necessarily have to say that.
Right.
It's not like we're trying to hide the fact that she's your first person. I'm just saying, do we need to emphasize that?
No, I just know that there's like so many things that I haven't decided. Like, I just don't know yet. I haven't decided. And so it kind of makes me feel comfortable to let someone know that it's not a lack of confidence. It's just that I haven't done this before, you know?
Yeah. If it will make you feel more comfortable, then feel free to experiment with saying something at the top.
Yeah.
And then evaluate afterwards, like, would I need to say that next time? Or did I even need to say that? That's not like, you don't know until you try it and then go, oh, well, I'll never say that again.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot tell you, that's how I learned to give a good intake call with clients is, oh my God, I did bad intake calls with clients. It was like, oh, why did I even say this? I made promises. I discounted my prices because they paused and were quiet and I got nervous. I gave rates that were ridiculously stupid that I didn't like. Oh, I've made all the mistakes, but I make my mistakes once. And I learn, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do that again. Right? Like, you want to learn your mistake. You learn your lessons once, not repeat them four times and go, should I be discounting my prices all the time? No. So you can come back after this call. You can go back to a cash flow session. And if you're like, ooh, it worked out this way, or I think I said this and I didn't need to, like, if you want to kind of do some deconstruction of that.
Yeah. And do I start the conversation like, this is what I do? Or do I say, so tell me, what do you need? Or
So tell me, what do you hope to get out of us working together? That's a great intro. Do not start with a preamble. The focus is on them until you have asked all the questions. And sometimes it'll be a lot. And for some people, it'll be a little. All the questions you need to ask until you've decided I can work with them. Then you can talk about structure and price and They don't need to know how you work until you're sure that this will be a good match. So throw it out. So what are you hoping to get out of us working on this QuickBooks project together? What would make it a success for you? Mm-hmm. And then you just keep asking them questions until you're like, okay,
this is like, she seems legit and I can help her here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You're going to get good at this pretty fast.
Yeah. It's like kind of like common sense maybe, or like, but
your brain is already going to the right questions. You've got a lovely tone. If you can keep that tone when you ask, it's like, you know, even if she says yes and she would pay you a lot of money, you might not even be able to do the work because one of you could get hit by a bus tomorrow. It's like, it's okay. Just have a lovely conversation with a person who's interested in you.
Yeah.
And see if it even progresses beyond that. Like, be a little, that's just a little detachment from like, oh, this would be so great to earn this money. I mean, it would. But
right.
just enjoy having a conversation with a person who's interested in working with you.
You know, ultimately, like I think like it's, I'm fine with her not paying me for the session. It's interesting to just like, okay, what would talk to someone and be like, how could I do this? You know, yeah. Like, I think I can. So let's have a conversation. So
for everyone listening, I know that this is going to be a lovely learning experience for Marisol. Does she need to get paid for it? No. But if someone offers to give you money, that is your chance to build up your receiving muscles and say, well, thank you so much. You want to give me money. Don't cut that off at the pass. Allow that flow to happen. And by the way, she can buy your full package and you can charge her for this call. That's fine too. Because she offered, because she obviously values her, she values her time. And that's why she values your time, which is a great client. Someone who values their own time is happy to write a check to somebody else who gave them time out of their life.
And having a conversation with her already, like she's literally said those words. So,
yeah. So happily take her money and then maybe help her with QuickBooks. Yeah.
Okay. Well, really glad I logged in today.
Good question. Thank you. Anybody else have a quickie? You're gonna do great, Marisol. That's great. Hi, Anu.
Hi.
Hi.
I guess I just wanted to share a victory and yes. Get a little cheer because it's sometimes hard to, you know, remember the motivation to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I emailed you too that this week I'm going to do a reading of a bunch of songs that I've written, and I'm so excited. And I have applied to like 10 different grants and didn't get any of them except one that was $500. And then I was like, I'll take it. And then last week I heard back from another one, which was $5,000. And so, but I'm excited. There's a network I'm connected to, the Poor People's Campaign. So it's a bunch of organizers, and I'm going to get their feedback, not only on what it makes them feel, but also how to build it as an invitation for our network to more creatively collaborate in building something beautiful together.
Everybody, or whoever wants to unmute, let's have her hear our cheer.
Oh my God.
Yay.
Amazeball.
Yay you.
Yes. Hey, and I did that because you asked for it. You wanted to hear a cheer. Sometimes you get exactly what you want in life if you're willing to ask for it. And I think that that's totally worthy. And I think that speaks also so nicely to the point that we were making with Marisol. The universe is like, how about 500? And you're like, okay, I will take it. And they're like, okay, she's going to take it. Her arms are open. How about more? You're like, okay, not a problem. Yeah. Congratulations. That's wonderful. And congratulations for doing all the work of applying for grants. That is not easy. Oh my gosh. That is one of the most arduous things. Applying for grants is only a little bit better than applying for like disability services. Ugh.
Totally.
Really hard. Yeah.
And so. It was interesting because I I applied to one and I was like, wow, this is not a very strong application. And I'm going to submit it anyway because this is what I can do. I need a stronger work sample, which I will be getting later. And da-da-da. So I was like tracking. All right. Sometimes you just have to put a foot forward knowing that it's not the best one. The perfect one. It's not the perfect one, but it's the one that you can do now. And you're going to learn from doing that.
Great. Well said. What does it mean? You said you are presenting your songs or
mm-hmm. What does it mean exactly?
Singing your songs?
Yeah, basically, I mean, I envision this as a more an ensemble kind of like choir and all this, but at the moment it's just me singing. So I've just invited people and I'm going to sing, and there's going to be like a couple moments in the 45 minutes where I'll pause and have people respond. And then at the end, put them into breakout groups according to their geography. Cause I have people from all over the country that are going to be one ED of an organizing group said, oh, I'm excited about this. Can I invite some of our senior leaders that we're organizing and developing because it's right in our political education meeting time.
Oh.
And I was like, that's exactly what I want, is how can this support and be in conversation with leadership development, political education, you know? So yes.
Yes. Yes. Congratulations. Thank you. That's a fabulous victory to send us all off for another week in the trenches. So have a wonderful time. It's on the 17th
on Friday, on the new moon.
Friday. Yeah. All right. Take care, everybody. See you next Sunday.